Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to a man whose work is never done.
In a job like yours, even when it's finished, there's always one more thing to do.
And his job is to make your job easier.
It's a very difficult job, and the only way to get through it is we all work together as a team. And that means you do everything I say.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for staying with me. If you just tuned in, we're glad you did that. Welcome aboard. If you've been listening already, we consider that a sign of high intelligence. Peter Johnston is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. Peter is a negotiator. He's a professional negotiator, internationally recognized professional negotiator, and he helps people make sure that they get that they win. Which doesn't mean that they get everything in a negotiation. Just means that they win. You got to know what you want. And Peter helps his folks know about that before they go in. He's the author of Negotiating with Giants, Get What You Want Against the Odds. And when small business owners are negotiating with big companies, sometimes it is against the odds. Peter, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thank you, Jim. Pleasure to be on.
It's good to have you back. What I just said about your subtitle, Get What You Want Against the Odds, you know, I work with a lot of big companies, and you know, at least once a year or so, you know, I'm negotiating with each company that I work with, whether I'm working with them or whether I'm proposing to them, and maybe I get the business, maybe I don't get the business. So this thing about negotiating with giants against the odds, I know about that.
Sure. And it's a challenge that most entrepreneurs face today, and as we've discussed in the past, the size of the giants around us, players like Walmart, is unprecedented in history, Jim. And so you have to prepare in special ways, particularly away from the negotiation table, which is the emphasis of negotiating with giants, for those negotiations at the table, and where most of the value plays out is actually in what you do away from the table, and that really
in the building of relationships, right?
Well, the building of relationships, but if you look at in other ways as well, that could be coalition building, that could be your backup plan away from the table, could be how you handle the media and your profile in the media before going to the table. It could be how you worsen your giant's alternatives to a deal away from the table, mm-hmm. so that when you get to the table is set in a way that you're ready to get what you want at that point. And in a tough economy, Jim, it's clearer that there are more giants out there for entrepreneurs, especially if you're looking to sell during a down economy,
right,
for whatever personal reason.
And I know that I do want to talk about selling to large companies in a down economy, but when you say at the table, folks, that's a metaphorical term that could be a lot of different scenarios. Right, Peter?
Right. So, you know,
doesn't have to be sitting at a negotiating table across from the other person with lawyers on both sides. It could be just be a business meeting, or it could be, you know, a conference call that's at the table. It could be a lot of different venues, right?
That's right. And it could be absolutely. It could be at the table, meaning on the phone or via email. It's really about interacting with whoever you are dealing with on the other side, and that would be defined broadly as at the table, as you say, whereas when we're talking about away from the table, it's all those things you would do away from any formal setting, including,
right,
as you said, building those relationships inside your giant to try to infiltrate your giant, to figure out how they're thinking, and even gain information you wouldn't otherwise have access to that might be helpful at the table.
Well, the thing that I've learned, Peter, is there are things that well, first of all, it helps me, and I'm assuming the negotiations that I have are not are not antagonistic negotiations. These are all positive things. They're either considering doing business with me, or they're not going to do business with me. But there's nothing negative about any of them. Nothing ugly at all. So I've experienced that the best way for me to get what I want negotiating with big companies is to build some kind of a relationship. Let them know a little bit about me, and let me know a little bit about them. What do you think about that in a negotiation?
I think that at the right point in time, that's critical. Relationship is going to allow you to get that deal. And a bad relationship versus a good relationship can end up with a bad relationship with no deal at all,
right,
or a bad deal because you haven't had the trust to build up
right,
that rapport where you can openly share interests that will allow you to get creative around what kind of deal you have in the end.
And that creative thing, that's what I want to talk about when we come back, because that's really, really big. And you got to know what they can do. And we're going to get Peter to help us understand that right on the other side of these messages. It's 20 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website's smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. B-I-Z. The first one is where you can find the show and the Brain Trust and the newsletter and the blog and the articles and the archives and et cetera, et cetera. Lots and lots of stuff to help you with your business. And whether you're starting one or you got one you're trying to grow. And, of course, our knowledge base, askjim.biz.biz, where you get small business answers now. I hope you'll check those out and use them to your advantage. No barriers to entry. If you can get there, we'll let you come in, hang out with us, and use our stuff. Peter D. Johnston is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. Peter Johnston with a T is the author of Negotiating with Giants, Get What You Want Against the Odds. And Peter, we were talking about, you mentioned the word creativity in your last thoughts as we went to the break. One of the things that I've found is that the people I negotiate with, people I work with the big companies, the giants as you call them, they're just human beings like me, but they've got rules, they've got parameters, they have lawyers they have to deal with. And what I found is that the more I can know about what they're dealing with, what they're up against, helps me to not ask them for something they can't do. Because if I ask them for something and I sort of demand something that they cannot do by corporate structure, all I'm doing is annoying them or hurting their feelings or making them mad. What do you think?
That's right. And one of the big things you have to be aware of in terms of concerns they'll have on their side in getting a deal done is the issue of precedence. Because for smaller players, you know, you can do a deal that's off market and it doesn't affect you because you're not doing 100 more deals the same year. But for a big company, precedent is one of those big concerns. And I tell a story in Negotiating with Giants about a large technology company that a small family-run business is trying to sell their business. And they're having trouble getting a deal done because it's a big deal. It's a relatively big small business. But the family wants $300 million. And the big technology company is saying $200 million. And they finally get the deal done once a representative from the family talks to a representative inside the giant and discovers, and they have a heart-to-heart, that precedent is a huge issue, that the multiple they're looking for would set a terrible precedent in the marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
So what they end up doing, Jim, is they announce the deal at $200 million. Which is what the big company wanted.
Mm-hmm.
So what does a small family-run business get? Well, they got $300 million in their bank account in the end because
mm-hmm.
the issue was how the deal was presented. So by announcing it at $200 million, company sets a favorable precedent for others, but they get the extra $100 million, the family does, through
mm-hmm.
a side deal where they will provide consulting to the company over time. But
right.
the amount of the deal in terms of precedent is at $200 million. So there's one small example of getting creative at the table. But first you have to understand how your giant's thinking and what their concern is. In this case, it was a precedent.
And so what you do is you find out what their precedent is, you find out what their parameters are, what are their restrictions, what are their constraints, what are the lawyers holding them back on, what are their budgetary constraints, and then instead of demanding stuff, you know, my experience has been is this is what I need. How can we get to that, and let them scratch their head over it. What do you think?
Right, and in that case, you have a company that if somebody didn't have that heart-to-heart conversation from the family in understanding what the concern was, they would have been hitting their heads against the wall
right.
Forever, and the company would have walked away, and the deal wouldn't have been done. And
the next deal after somebody walks away from a deal might not be as shiny and bright as the first deal.
For sure.
The bloom may be off that rose. Let me ask you a question, Peter. Sometimes I get the feeling that lawyers are running in the marketplace these days. Can we take back our companies from the lawyers, especially the big companies? Don't they need to take back their companies from the lawyers?
When I'm advising any of my clients, big or small, and there are legal issues involved, I always say, remember, you are the quarterback of your team when you get involved in any deal. So everybody from lawyers to accountants to other folks inside your own firm, they are advisors to you, and you are going to have to live with your results. And lawyers have different interests than you do. And so you want to factor those interests in, and they're invaluable, lawyers are, in helping you make sure you do the right things legally. But they're not mm-hmm. the ones who should be driving the deal, and you have to remember that from day one.
But aren't you seeing lawyers driving more deals than ever before?
I think there are a lot of lawyers out there, Jim. So
you're not taking my bait, are you, here, Peter? Come on.
I think you're right, but I think they've driven deals for some time, and I think it's the savvy deal makers, the savvy smaller players, who make sure that they're the ones ultimately mm-hmm. driving the way deals are done. And yes, a lot of bad deals get done because there's too much legal involvement mm-hmm. too early and late in the game to torpedo deals or undermine yep. their value.
Yep.
So we've talked about that before, how you use your lawyer and the guidelines you give them in terms mm-hmm. of the tone of how the negotiations are going to unfold and what you're trying to achieve, being very clear about that. And those are their marching orders.
I'm not worried about my lawyer. I can control my lawyer. It's their lawyer that nobody, sometimes that a guy like me can't even get to. You know, when you're dealing with a big company, you can't. The lawyers say this, the lawyers say that, but I can't even talk to that person. Hold on to that thought, Peter. We're going to take a quick break, folks. It's 10:10. Peter Johnson is our guest. He's the author of Negotiating with Giants, an outstanding book on negotiating and on doing business, especially with companies that are bigger than you. Stay with us.
And then the man steps right up. Microphone.
We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Peter D. Johnston is our guest. He's the author of Negotiating with Giants. Peter, give us your website, please.
NegotiatingWithGiants.com is where you can find out more about the book and more about our firm.
All right, so check that out. And tell us a little bit about what you guys do.
We advise governments, companies, big and small, on their toughest negotiation challenges, and that can be everything from civil wars to merger wars to internal disputes among the owners of a small business, for example.
Right. Well, negotiating is something that I've been talking to my audience about for a long time, since the beginning of our show back in '97, Peter, and that is trying to get them to understand that you really need to become as good a negotiator as possible, and one of the first steps in that, in my opinion, is knowing as much about what motivates the other side. What do you think?
Exactly. And sometimes, as you know, as per the theme of my book, staying away from the table, sometimes being a great negotiator means sending someone else to the table and not feeling like that has to be you directly. A lot of people get caught up in thinking, hey, if I'm going to be a really good negotiator, I've got to be the one who's at the table. In fact, you think back to Bill Gates and his deal with Seattle Computers that got him the operating system he could turn around and license to IBM. Gates was smart enough to know he wasn't the guy to get that deal done. He stayed elsewhere while Paul Allen closed the deal at the table. Gates knew how much was riding on that deal, so he sent somebody else. In the political arena, you see the same thing. Nelson Mandela, in negotiating a new constitution in 1990, in the early 1990s, sent Cyril Ramaphosa, a union leader, rather than going himself. He knew he could stay more objective, away from the table, and that Ramaphosa was the one who could get the best deal at the table.
Well, and exactly. And the thing is, and it's not even if the other person is a better negotiator than you, it could be that you need to save your shots, your best influence for if the thing really does need you. I mean, if it doesn't, if the deal doesn't need your expertise, then you don't have to use it. And if things finally break down, you know, you can become the negotiator of last resort. What do you think about that?
Sure. And we talked we touched earlier on selling your business in a tough economy if you had to. I think it's important to think about whether you want to keep running your business and you want to bring in someone else to negotiate the deal, or have someone who's currently with your business just focused on those negotiations, so that at a critical time for your business, when the economy's tough, you're not taking your eye off the ball and losing value in the business just as you're trying to sell it.
Well, I'm not giving anybody business advice here because I don't know what anybody's deal is, anybody who might be trying to sell their business right now. But in general, I wouldn't think that a slow economy would be a good time to sell a business.
It's not a good time. There are, however, in lots of cases, still thousands of businesses being sold right now.
Yeah.
And that's because people have health problems, they're looking to retire, they have internal conflicts, whatever it might be.
Or the economy is to the point where they either have to sell it or close it. And they're selling it at a disadvantage, but that's still better than bankruptcy or closing up.
Sure. And so, you know, the first advice on right now would be, you know, don't sell your business. Find other ways to finance it. But if you have to sell, going back to what you said on getting creative, you want to look at maintaining as much upside for yourself as possible. And that can include selling some of the company now, more later, earn-out provisions that pay you for improved results over time, splitting your company in two, selling a piece that will be more highly valued today, hanging on to other pieces, or selling the whole business but continuing to receive royalty payments over time linked to your top line.
These are all ways of being prepared to accept creative options, because this big company, they've probably got more sophisticated thinkers than you. They may not be smarter than you, but they're more sophisticated probably. And they may be bringing you options that you hadn't thought about before that on the surface you don't like, but ultimately, if you can get your head around them, might be a better deal for you.
Right. And these kinds of ideas are the ultimate protector for you at the table on not taking a bad deal. So is having a good backup plan and casting a broad net to try to get as many buyers to the table as possible. Smaller
Thanks,
players
Peter.
Looking to expand, big players, a financial company looking to do a roll-up.
Thanks for being here today, Peter. Good job today.
Thanks for having me on. Look forward to talking to you again.
We'll see you next time. Peter Johnson, ladies and gentlemen. I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.